This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go. 7:14, Tuesday, May 6th. A tough time of year when it comes to rain. Barry Keim joins us now, LSU climatologist, talk about hurricane preparedness week. But first, let's talk about this weather that is forecast to come in. And what is it about this time of year, Barry, that makes it so prone? I'm thinking of May 3rd floods. We had a couple of them, May 5th, May 6th. You picked the time of year, Cedric Grant's flood. What is it about this time of year?
Yeah, there was absolutely something about the late April, early May time frame that the atmosphere can just come together and throw some of the heaviest rainfall that we've ever seen in this area. It just puts it all together and bam. I wish I knew the answer to that, Tommy. I really don't know, to be perfectly frank. I mean, obviously, this is the time of year when the frontal systems are pretty strong as we're transitioning into the summer season. We still get some pretty cold air from the north moving down here, but now things are really starting to heat up down here, and we can get a very, very unstable atmosphere as we get into the spring. I guess one argument would be, Tommy, is that the upper atmosphere is still relatively cold coming out of the winter season, but the surface temperatures really start to heat up as we start getting into late spring and start looking at summer, and that creates a very, very unstable vertical profile of the atmosphere, which it just makes it that much easier to pop off thunderstorms. And of course, if you're popping off thunderstorms, there's the potential to produce some heavy rains. But yeah, we've had some doozies at this time of year for sure. May 3rd, May 8th, 1998. That was another one. So yeah, we've had some big ones.
Is there a difference between climatologist and meteorologist?
Of course. Meteorology is the short term forecasting of the weather. It's really the physics of the atmosphere. Climate basically does everything else, looking at long-term impacts, long-term changes and averages. And of course, when I say averages, that could be average return frequencies of hurricanes. So it basically incorporates almost everything else. Now, when you talk about a 50 or 100 year storm, I would argue that's climatology. That's not really meteorology. Meteorology is really just about the forecasting of the weather and how it's going to change over the next hour up to the next few days.
And that was my next question about 100-year storm events, because it seems as though starting back on May 3rd, and I forgot what year it was, in the 70s or whatever, it seems like that was the first one-in-100-year flood event, and it would seem as though, I don't know if it's because the climate is changing, I don't know what's going on, but it seems as though the dam, pardon the pun, burst then, and then from then on we started to get these every 100-year, once-in-a-year rainfalls. Is it about the nomenclature that's confusing there, or tell me, Barry?
No, you're absolutely correct. Just by dumb luck, Tommy, I did my master's thesis on heavy rainfalls in New Orleans.
Did you?
And I looked at this temporally just to see, because this was in the 90s. We'd had May 3rd and some other really, really big rainstorms across the region. And it's like, is this normal? Or, I mean, let's look at the long-term record and see if there's something unusual going on. And you're absolutely correct. That May 3rd, 1978 storm started us into a new regime, a period where these big rainstorms have become way more common. And you're absolutely correct. And these 25, 50, and 100-year storms are occurring with regularity that makes no sense. Now, what's interesting, though, is like the previous 30 or 40 years, we didn't get very many heavy rainfalls. In the 50s, 60s, early 70s was a time when we barely had storms over 5 inches in that window of time. And that, you know, it sort of, I guess it just lulled us into thinking we don't get those big storms. And then in 78, the switch just flicked in the other direction, and all hell has been breaking loose ever since.
Well, it's good to know that that is proven out by facts and not just my own perception, because that's certainly the way that it seemed. So when it comes to, and real quick before we get to the break, and we'll take the break, and then we'll come back, talk about hurricane preparedness. How concerned are you about whatever it is that's coming this way with the weather and the flood watch and all of that?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's a dangerous situation, obviously. We'll just have to wait and see how it all officially plays out. But we're looking at widespread rains across the state of Louisiana of 3 to 5 inches. There can absolutely be some areas that see even more. I mean, this potential weather service, I saw some numbers even up to 10 inches in certain locations. I'm sure that'll just be some isolated pockets. But, this could really wreak havoc across this region. So we need to be on our A-game for the next couple of days.
Somebody texted in, April showers bring May flowers. Yeah, it's not the April showers I'm worried about. It's the May showers I'm worried about that bring streets flooding and so forth. We're talking to Barry Keim, LSU climatologist. It's Hurricane Preparedness Week. We come back, we'll talk about cuts to NOAA. I see a tweet here from Neil deGrasse Tyson, whom we had on one time, saying weather and climate research funds are being chainsawed from NOAA's budget. So we'll talk about that and more, and the likelihood that the prediction by the NOAA of hurricanes or path or whatever could be, and safety of the area could be affected by cuts, with Barry Keim when we come back. Right now, 7:20, time for traffic, WWL. 7:25, Tuesday, May 6th. And it's the time of year where we're known for some heavy rainfall. Some of that's predicted between 7 o'clock tonight and 7 o'clock tomorrow night, I think, is the most anticipated period for that. Barry Keim, LSU climatologist, with us. Talk about Hurricane Preparedness Week. When it comes to the NOAA cuts, and I mentioned a tweet by Neil deGrasse Tyson, the astrophysicist, earlier about weather and climate research funds chainsawed from NOAA's budget. What are you hearing, Barry, and what is there going to be any palpable change, things that were available last year, not available this year, or are cuts going to really matter?
Oh, the cuts are going to matter, certainly in the long term. We may not notice it in a big way this year, but maybe. We'll see. I mean, NOAA is basically cutting about 25 or 30% of its budget. And it's not going to be evenly distributed across NOAA. I mean, the research labs, forecast modeling, data acquisition, those areas are going to get hit particularly hard. And that is going to show up eventually in the accuracy of the forecasts and the ability to inform the public about what's actually happening. So there are definitely some issues on the horizon. And, obviously, we just have to see how it all plays out. Just to give you a couple of examples, the pilots who fly the hurricane hunting airplanes, I believe they went from 10 pilots down to 7. Mm-hmm. So not a big deal, but let's just hope nobody gets sick during hurricane season. Because, as they're, sending people out and doing rotations, that could be a big problem.
When you look at the federal budget and how much money we spend, and I know you got to start somewhere, but it seems kind of silly when you look at what the hurricane hunter pilots, the specialized skill that they have and the information that they provide, it seems kind of silly to lay off a couple of them. Yes, no?
I agree totally. it's a big deal. And like I said, and they're hitting all the research labs where this is where the innovation happens to improve the forecast. I mean, you may have noticed some of us have noticed over the last several decades that the forecasting is getting better and better. We're able to predict landfall with much greater accuracy today than even, 15, 20 years ago. And even the intensity forecasts, while, we're lagging behind in some regards, the intensity forecasts are getting better and better, where we can predict, rapid intensification of storms and things of that nature. They're doing some amazing things, with hurricane forecasting and forecasting in general. But this is just going to slow us down by crippling all the research labs that have created all that innovation and would, have more innovation moving forward. And then another issue, this is going to be a big issue even going into this season, is that they're putting out all these early retirements and inducing, paying people basically to retire early. But there's also a hiring freeze on. So the National Weather Service offices around the country, and in particular the ones along the Gulf Coast, some are hit harder than others. I mean, the Baton Rouge, New Orleans office that covers, you know, Mississippi Gulf Coast, the attrition rate was pretty low there. So we're not going to be affected in any big way. The Lake Charles office, which oversees southwestern Louisiana, they've been hit pretty hard. And so they're grossly understaffed. And then over in Houston, the Houston office has been decimated. And, of course, there's a hiring freeze in place, so they can't replace any of these people. So going into hurricane season, you know, that whole Houston region, and that's, there's a lot of people there. They're basically in harm's way without, you know, a whole lot of infrastructure there in place to help inform, you know, which hospitals should evacuate if, you know, things start coming unraveled. So
this would manifest
issues, I think, that could happen this year.
Manifest itself as well with evacuations, Barry, and notice and so forth?
Say that again, I'm sorry?
What, evacuations, where officials trying to call an evacuation or not, knowing about intensification or path, et cetera, it could affect that directly this year?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. In places like Houston, not so much here in the New Orleans area, but like I said, the Lake Charles region will be understaffed, and Houston is just decimated. So, and there's no way to hire people back right now to try and fill those positions. So there are definitely some problems around the Gulf Coast like that.
All right. Thank you, Barry. Let's hope it's a quiet hurricane season. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Eugene Green, New Orleans City Council member, about the homeless situation, surge in water board, and more right now. Time for WWL First News. 47:13 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. It is Give NOLA Day. And, you know, I'm a big fan of givinghopenola.org if you want to volunteer, or donate, make a donation. And also Unbranded is an organization that I've been involved with, and it's a physical therapist that removes tattoos from victims of sex trafficking. You can go to unbranded.org. A lot of good causes. Main thing is give something today if you can. After getting off the phone with Peyton Malone just now, WWL Louisiana forecaster, main threat is this evening after 7 or 8 o'clock. You might have a shower or two this afternoon, but really, the heavy rain comes in overnight. There is a definite flood risk. I've not seen anything from NOLA.com, but I'm sure they're going to allow neutral ground parking, you would think, although that's not been approved yet. And it all depends on the conditions are favorable for these storms to train and park over an area. But the problem is, you don't know if it's going to be East Bank, West Bank, North Shore, all of the above, none of the above. So there is a flood risk, and tomorrow morning, this can mostly happen overnight while everybody's sleeping, not me, because I get up at 3, but for most of y'all, so check with WWL, check with Dave Cohen, the early edition of WWL First News or TV or whatever you want to do before you head out so you know what streets are involved and what streets aren't. A couple of things making news in the NFL. The Baltimore Ravens have released Justin Tucker. Some people think he's the most successful, best kicker ever in the history of the NFL. He's an opera singer, and he sings for his church. But there have been some charges about him akin to the Deshaun Watson stuff with massage therapist, and I'll leave it at that. And then there's something about Travis Hunter that I found interesting on social media. He plays for the Jaguars. He kind of plays both ways. He plays cornerback, plays wide receiver, and he's on social media. His fiance gave him a $30,000 watch, and he said, "That's fine, but I'd rather have a boat." So I thought I'd open the Oakland Heart Jeweler text me line here at 504-260-1870. Would you rather have a boat or an expensive piece of jewelry or maybe a nice car or whatever, $35,000, let's say? Do you want a boat or do you want a nice piece of jewelry? And we were going to talk to Eugene Green, having a little bit of trouble connecting with him. My intuition never lets me down. Oh, apparently he is there. So let me take a break. We'll pick it up with Eugene Green when we come back. 7:50, 10 till 8. Traffic now, WWL. Now, let me tell you about Kronos BHW. It's a kind of long story, so bear with me. They're on North Arnold, right by Drago's, and it's Dr. Mace Scott and his team. And what they do is they provide body health and wellness. It's like a one-stop operation. And when it comes to hormone replacement therapy, a lot of people are starting to get into that, but you got to be careful who you see for that. That's why it's a good idea to see a medical doctor like Dr. Scott. He and his team go beyond just the basics with ongoing support, follow-up visits, and even nutrition and fitness needs. Now, I've lost over 100 pounds. That has changed my life. But now I'm starting some hormone therapy because I have low testosterone. And guys, if you're feeling stressed or not quite yourself, it could be low testosterone. And men start to lose free testosterone at the age of 30. It can affect your energy, your mood, even your drive. But Kronos has a solution. Kronos Body Health and Wellness specializes in hormone replacement therapy. I'm going over there today as soon as I get off, with a personalized approach to boost energy, strength, and vitality. You're going to experience improved mood, increased muscle mass, better focus, and performance. It's going to bring the you back that you've missed, that you thought was gone forever. But you know what? Dr. Scott's going to work with you to create a custom plan for your needs to restore balance so you can feel strong and productive again. I can't say enough about it. Don't wait to feel like yourself again. Whether it's weight loss or hormone replacement therapy, go to Kronos, CHRONOSBHW.com, CHRONOSBHW.com. And take the first step today. You're not going to regret it. All right, 7:55 and a half. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly to Eugene Green, New Orleans City Council Member. How you doing, Council Member Green?
Good morning. How are you doing, Tommy?
Okay, sir. Let's talk about the surge. Let's talk about the surge in water board real quick. I know you talked about an inch an hour, a half an inch thereafter, and you talked to Steve Nelson, and basically I think he gave you the answer that any contractor would. We can do anything you want if you got the money. Tell me how confident you are that the surge in water board will be able to take care of whatever rain we have coming today.
Well, I just want everybody to know that we certainly will always need more resources to get more things done. Mm-hmm. The sewage and water board pumps, we want them to all be working. Most of the time, 90% of them are working. It's just that when you have rain that comes down in such an intense fashion at certain times, such as we had earlier, later in April, the bottom line is that it's hard, it's difficult for the pumps to keep up. Well, it's impossible beyond an inch. And I want people to know what an inch means. If you look at the entire city where all the water is, for example, it's saying that those pumps are taking water down in all of the various neighborhoods at the rate of an inch an hour. Doesn't seem like it's a lot, but it's not exactly in front of just one or two places, in front of thousands of residences and in the streets of in many blocks. So the bottom line is that I wish that we could do more. We're building a power station that's going to provide more stable electricity so that pumps don't go out. The bottom line is that there are some things that we can do also, but I want you to know that nobody is ignoring flooding, that we recognize the need to address flooding, and that we hope to be able to work with the state, because the Sewage and Water Board is actually a state institution, but that's a discussion for maybe an ongoing fashion. But the bottom line is that I think that we're confident that the pumps will be working to the maximum extent possible and that we will get that water out of the streets.
You know, I was talking to Scott Walker yesterday, your fellow council member in Jefferson Parish, and he made a good point about the water being in the street. And you got to remember that if it's in the street, it's not in the houses. And sometimes when you get a torrential rainfall, that's just going to happen, right?
Well, I'm glad that it's not been going into the houses. I was there in the Ninth Ward, for example, during the last storm, and I was afraid that some of the water was going to get into houses. It didn't. It got into some cars, and that's never acceptable. And I want everybody to know, as you're listening, it's not acceptable for there to be flooding in any place. But it is important to recognize that we're in a city that's below sea level. Some areas are lower than other areas. We have certainly storm drains. Yeah, those storm drains do get clogged. We do have pumps, and yes, sometimes those pumps go out. But the bottom line is that, in reality, as we look at New Orleans and we look at the metropolitan area, a tremendous job is done taking water out of an area that in some places is a bowl. So we have to recognize that there are always going to be challenges. We want people to be prepared, move your vehicles to higher levels, recognize that nobody is saying that we want to ignore anything and that the pumps are always on. That's what I want people to say, too. Once there's enough water inside the system for the pumps to work, they come on. If they go out, maybe it's because of electricity, but no one's sitting around saying, we're not going to turn on the pumps. The pumps are always turned on. But the bottom line is that we need more support, if you will.
We need even support from residents recognizing that we have 70,000 storm drains in New Orleans alone. If you can help that storm drain outside of your house, if you can get those leaves from in front of it and that debris from in front of it, it does help the water to get into it, and it does make a difference in certain communities. But we're never going to ignore flooding and the potential for flooding. We're always addressing it and always providing resources and information to people.
Thank you, Eugene Green. Appreciate it. New Orleans City Council member to what he said. If you can, keep in mind, if the water doesn't get into the drain, it doesn't go into the canal and it can't be pumped out. So if you can today safely, make sure that you got any oak leaves or anything else picked up and the drain is clear so that the water can get in and then it can go into the canal and then it can be pumped and you get it. We'll talk to Troy Hebert, Louisiana State Representative, when we come back. Then Steve Nelson with the Surgeon Water Board. A lot coming up. Stay with us.